We're going to pray. But really, more specifically, we're going to give directives. We're going to give commands. We have some that they're not in our midst that should be. Wonderful people. We're just going to make a quick acknowledgement of who we need to pray for. One, Vinny, she's not here. She's in Health Park. She has they did a procedure yesterday to help her with her bladder. She has a bladder infection and some kidney problems. So we're going to pray for her. Also, the Plamondons. Robert has not been here for a few services. And then Marty Gay and the girls. I hope you're as glad, and I believe you are, I really do believe you are, that we've learned some things about prayer. And I hope that there's not a person in here that would ask God to heal these people. Because we all know with absolute certainty He already has. I'm going to ask, I enjoyed it so much because I had some things in my notes and I walked in the door and an elder requested prayer. I know what they were saying, we need to take charge. And I'm going to ask him to come and pray over these in a minute because he had the same attitude. John G. Lake, that great healing evangelist, I believe it was him that said, the reason why most Christians never get healed is that they don't take an aggressive attitude towards sickness. They don't take an aggressive, in other words, they don't just treat it like, we'll say some more about that later. He had about 5, 6, 7 brothers and sisters that died, and he finally got, oh God, oh no, we're not going to do this. It's not going to, see, if you get a passive, now I'll tell you how passive it is, and I'm not saying none of these that are out have this attitude, because they're just fighting. It's not a sin problem with them. They're just fighting a war. But I can tell you this. I'll tell you this. Same way that 1 Corinthians 5, how sin can leaven a church, and it can go all the way through a church if it's not taken care of. You know, sickness can leaven a church, and it can just go. If the people don't know what you know, and if they start saying things like, oh, it's just that time of the year. Oh, it's just that time of the year. If you don't take an aggressive, by God, get out of my way, Satan. Don't talk to me about no time of the year. Don't talk to me about this is this, that, and the other. The only way that you get rid of something is you take an aggressive stand against it. Hallelujah. And I know he's representing a lot of you in here. So Rex, why don't you come and pray for these because you had them on your heart and you just talked to Marty last night, I believe. So let's all just stand and Rex, if you want to say something and then where your heart's at.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah, Lord. First of all, I want you all to know that I really don't know anything about a lot of things, you know. And the more I get to know Christ, the less the things that I thought I knew, I don't know. But one thing I can tell you, the First John lessons that we've been going through have changed my life. And I realized there were so many areas that I was okay with, I was complacent with. I don't know if you want to call it pride or whatever, but those things have settled into the body of Christ. And I found out this last couple weeks, I've been repenting basically every day because there were certain mandates the Lord asked me to do years ago, and I have not been faithful to keep them. And the Holy Spirit reminded me that the Holy Spirit said this to me many years ago, and it's for us all. It's not just me. It's for the body of Christ. He said, don't make a move without me. Don't make a move without me. And he's been saying it to me again. So I started on Monday and spent the day just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All day long. All day long. And started with asking the Holy Spirit. And it sounds like, well, geez, you mean we can't do anything? No, it's not like that. But asking, not letting my own mind decide how my day is going to be as I'm going through my day. And I started out good, and then I started doing my own thing again. I got to do this. Just completely doing it, and just completely, once again, ignoring the Holy Spirit. I repented. Because, see, I'm going to do this thing. He asked me, and I've repented. So I've come to a place of a very repentive heart. And I've seen all the things. I mean, I had a flash of all the things that even all these years as a Christian, I've been unfaithful to. Unfaithful to him as I was called to be here for things that I let slide. You know, I'm just speaking of myself. I'm not here. I'm just here right now with a very thankful heart. And we put up with so many things. We put up with things. I was talking to Ralph this morning, and then Pastor, you know, these sicknesses that try to come on us. We're like, well, it's a season. Well, it's a flu virus, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we just accept that? We accept that? We're the body of Christ. We're the ones that have the authority, and we've been accepting these things in our lives? And then we wonder why we have no power, and I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying that the more we get to know him, the more we are going to know who we are. And the Lord says in his word that we have all authority here on earth. And he says, as you do, let me glean you, let me clean you, let me lop off not just the dead branches, but he wants to lop off the ones that are producing fruit too, so they can produce more fruit. What does that mean? That means that, wow, we're producing fruit. And they think, well, Lord, don't touch them because I'm producing fruit here. No, he says, let me cleanse them. Let me cut those off so you can produce good fruit, because there's still things there that are tainted. So that's what that means with the fruit that's already being produced. He wants to clean them up too, so we might look like a dead stick standing there. But where else would you want to be? Where else would you want to be? Because see, we've been praying for this stuff to come, and yeah, we see the church going poop, boom, boom, boom. First John, we kind of expected a little drop off, maybe, huh? Yeah. But the thing is, they're not going to stay dropped off, because see, they're right now looking, and we're praying that they're going to see, they're going to receive the areas that they need change in. They're not going to stay away. We're not going to allow that. We're not going to allow that. We have the authority here. So they may not be here now. I've slipped up, but I want to make the correction. I want to fulfill my call in the Lord more than anything that I want to do. And I have a lot of things that have been so wrong, so wrong. I've heard Homer preach this for years, and I'm like, well, Homer, I hope you get those things corrected. Jesus, I repent, because that was me. Oh, I'm okay. Look at me. I'm fine. I ain't okay. But I'm going to be okay. I am going to change. Those First John lessons, oh my word. Jesus. I mean, and then all the things. You see, they're here. We have them because we prayed them in. We've been asking for the truth. We've been wanting the truth. It's here. Are we going to receive it? Are we going to make the changes? Or are we going to just say, oh, okay, well, let's go to the next thing? Are we going to take it? I'm saying this for myself, because I am so tired of me. I'm tired of me, Bronk. And I repent to you. To anybody else that I've offended or cut short or cut off or whatever, forgive me. Because I'm making some changes here. I'm going to receive. I'm going to go in. And I say that, but the Lord says, if you really love me, what's the rest of that? Huh? I've repented because I haven't. I've cut my Lord off. I've loved other things more than him. Still. And he doesn't turn his back on me? He doesn't turn his back on you. Because see, he's after us. He loves us. Know the kind of love that I'm talking about. It's a love that's going to bring us into the end. We're looking at our finest hour, folks. We're looking at, I don't care how dark the darkness gets, the light is getting brighter and brighter. We're looking at our finest hour. The devil's trying to throw everything at us that he can. He's trying to get us to walk in the flesh at every step of the way. And that's what I was talking about on Monday. I'd say, yes, Holy Spirit, what's my next step? And he'd tell me. And in the next breath, I was doing my own thing again. What is that? That's nothing but flesh. That's nothing but flesh, and it's nothing but sin, you know. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. Even Marty and them, I've been talking with them, Lord. The Bronx said it's nothing against any kind of sin in their life, Father. But, Lord, as you show us, and as we take commandment over these things and say, you know what, we're not putting up with this, and speak the word over these. Not an evil report, but speak the word. Any other thing is an evil report. And the Holy Spirit, we're going to continue to fall on our knees and repent, be in a spirit of repentance, until we start really picking up and being the doers of the word that we need to be. And let you lop off all this stuff. Because there is going to come a day and a time when we're going to not boastfully say, and not even have to say the words, but they'll be true because of our Lord. You have nothing in us, enemy, because we're gonna let the Lord cleanse us totally. You're not going to have nothing in us. Not that we can do it anything. I can't do anything without the Lord. I can't change myself. But I can surrender to my Lord. And as I surrender and as I repent, it's as far away from the east as the west. And I have to know that it's true. And then I got to walk it out. So we surrender to you this morning, Father. We trimmed back our lamps. We're the ones that are trimming back our lamps. And we're the one preparing for this finest hour. We're in a time of preparation until it happens. And Lord, we thank you for continuing to show us and bring us into the truth. In Jesus' name. And I pray for Marty and them. Sickness has to leave their bodies. They're healed and whole. They know it. They speak it. And it's gone. And never going to return again. And we're going to just walk through each of these situations in victory as we surrender to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So good. So good. Wonderful. We also speak to Vinny. In the name of Jesus, to her body, I command life. I command life to those kidneys. In the name of Jesus, and to that bladder and to that infection, go in the name of Jesus. Life be in the name of Jesus. Life. Total life, restoration, in Jesus' name. A 4-year-old that a grandparent that is a client. A grandparent of the 4-year-old has just been diagnosed with autism, and they ask Terry to have us pray. His name is Brooks. Wake up. Oppression against the mind. Autism, I command you to go. In the name of Jesus, you are a spirit. In the name of Jesus, go in the name of the Lord. That which is affecting the brain, go in Jesus' name. Life. Life. I release life to you, little one. Be made whole. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have no idea, but many of you do. But I'm just saying this, how Satan has used more than ever before in history, we see what would appear to be against the little ones, an onslaught of autism, other secular names that would describe what we'd call a slowness in learning or an expression of certain things. I'm an intelligent person. I'm not discounting genetic brain dysfunctions. I understand that aspect. But I understand because the mass wave has been an acceptance. You did not see, it's not because the technology is just that much greater, but because it's so easy to say, it's the same principle of it's this time of year. If a parent or grandparent or guardian begins to detect any kind of slowness of any sort, and then a doctor says that word, it's accepted. It's accepted. I've seen it try to come close to us, and we didn't accept it, and it's gone. It's just absolutely, it's non-existent. But you speak to it as well. There's so much that he gets in because you accept. You just accept it. And you think you're being intelligent. You think because the doctor said it, you're intelligent by going along with what he gets in. We're going to pray another prayer. Let's see. Marcia, I want you to pray this. You can stay there. We're going to hit husband and wife team this morning since we got them going. I want you to pray. We're going to agree with you, but you're going to speak directives. Satan is trying to steal the election over our state, both for our governor and for our Senate. I believe that God got what he wanted done Tuesday night, both in our governorship and our senator. Now, if you don't think that he won't reverse that, if we get complacent, he will. He'll reverse one, if not both of them.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come from our seated position in Christ Jesus. And we say, devil, back off. You take your hands off of the election of Florida in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we will not lose any seats in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We will have the Republican governor. We will have the Republican senator in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No more. And yes. I thank you, Father God, this stops now. No more. Not even in 2020, Lord, or other elections. This stuff is stopped now in the name of Jesus where elections are concerned. No more dysfunctioning voting machines. No more hidden ballots. No more in the name of Jesus. And people that are coming against your plan, Father God, are removed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Hallelujah.
And that's the way it shall be, and that's the way we declare it. And Lord, we not only declare our seat in the Lord Jesus Christ, but as citizens of the state of Florida, we say we keep Florida Republican in the name of Jesus. And Father, also as citizens of the United States of America, one nation under God, indivisible. Lord God, we say that Georgia and Arizona will be Republican also, because we stand in our authority in Christ Jesus. We stand in our authority as a citizen of the United States. We stand in our authority as a citizen of Florida. And we say, enough is enough. Devil, back off. In Jesus' name, the name that is above every name, and we will have it the Lord's way in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, people, it's time. We've got to take our authority. We have to realize we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are not of this world. We've even heard that in them First John lessons. We're not of this world. We're of the heavenly kingdom. And it's time we rule and reign in our authority in Christ Jesus. God is a sovereign God, but yet God does not decide it all. We, the body of Christ, he had to have man on the earth. That's why he sent Jesus Christ as a man, because he has to work through man. People, it's our responsibility to pray. It's our responsibility to stand in our authority in Christ Jesus. So people, stand in your place. Take authority in your homes. Take authority in your local governments. Take authority in your state. Stand in what God has given us to do. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouthpiece. And we've got to go his way.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Amen. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia. Perfect prayer. I just want to say for anybody listening, just so you'll understand, we are not a Republican church.
No.
We're not a Democrat church.
No. Right.
We're not an independent church. We are a church of righteousness.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
It just so happened that in every single one of those cases that she cited in prayer, those people were citing pro-life. Every one of them were citing pro-life. Here's how, and I mean this with all my heart, if we had a governor, a Republican, a Democrat, and the Republican said, I am not pro-life, Homer asked our present governor, when he went into his campaigning from the Senate, we sit 4 feet across from him from 1 hour, and Homer asked him, are you pro-life? And he said, yes, I am, with no equivocation. He said that. If he would have been a Democrat and the Republican would have been not pro-life, I would have easily voted for the Democrat. I will vote Democrat or Republican, whoever they are. I will vote righteousness. That's what we are. We're not a Republican church. We're not a Democrat church. We're a church of righteousness and of the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So let's give each other a great big hug and say good morning to each other. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is everybody in here, Rex? I think everybody is. As far as, I mean, it's okay if they're still going to the restaurant. I just didn't want the kids over there yet. Hallelujah. Wasn't that powerful? Someone came to me in the break and said that a friend of theirs, their mother had just passed away in Naples with a heart attack. And so, would you pray with me for that family? Jesus, right now, for the one that requested it, and for her friend, and for the whole family, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done. That is to bring forth peace and then the salvation message of Jesus, if that is not already resident there. That at this side, Lord, of the grave, that those that do not know you will hear the true gospel. And the true gospel will be preached to them, and peace will come in the midst of their storm. Father, we speak life, and I release that life and that grace and that peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a wonderful blessing to be married to a woman that loves the Lord and will follow the Lord. And so a couple of weeks ago, I believe, and she can clarify this, but I think it was in a morning, Candy came out, and after her time of spending time with the Lord, she shared with me, she said the Lord had given her a story, a kid's story that she had written. And she read it to me, and I just thought it was exceptional, but it was just extremely anointed. It was really, really good. And I wanted her to share that this morning and then share it in any way that she wanted to present it. So we don't have a whole lot of kids here, but the biggest part is our grandkids, but that's okay. Hallelujah. Y'all need to have more grandkids and bring them. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Candy, you want to come?
Okay. A couple of weeks ago in the prayer room, I was praying and the Lord began to talk to me about Jude. And so the way that I envisioned this happening was I'd like all the children, if they would, to come up here with me and let me just sit right here. But can all the children come up here, please? JoJo, Drea, Aubrey, all of you, yes. I would like for all the children that usually go to Sunday school to come up here and just sit down right here in front of me. Can y'all sit on the floor right here in front of Nana? Okay. Anybody that wants to come, some of you are children too. I'd like to be sitting there. Sit down right here, baby. I'm going to sit by Nana. Okay. Okay, this is how I just sort of envisioned this taking place. So listen real close, okay? It's okay. The name of this story is called My Big Brother, the Superhero. And here's the clue. So listen closely. The answer to the question at the end of my story is found in what I say at the beginning. Now, this is the beginning of my story. There once was a man named Jude, and Jude said, praying in the Holy Ghost can make you a superhero just like Jesus. Now, this Jude is a younger half-brother to Jesus, and there was another younger half-brother named James, and there were other younger half-brothers and sisters to Jesus. But this story is about Jesus and his little half-brother Jude. Jude knew a whole lot about Jesus because he grew up with him, and Jude knew all his life that Jesus was really special, a really special person, because Jesus always chose to do good things, and Jesus loved everyone so very much. The most special thing about Jesus is that he is the Son of God. His Father is God. Jesus and Jude and their other brothers and sisters had the same mother named Mary. Jesus' younger brothers and sisters' dad was a man named Joseph. They all found out later that Jesus, when Jesus grew up, that their big brother Jesus was the greatest superhero of all. Because when Jesus grew up, he began to heal all the sick people that came to him. He would say, "Receive your sight," and then the blind eyes could see. Jesus would say, "Be made whole," and arms and legs would grow out on people that didn't have an arm or a leg. Jesus even had and has more power than the devil and can make the devil leave people alone. Jesus could feed thousands of people all at one time by just saying a prayer over their food. When Jesus died on the cross for us, just 3 days later, he came back to life with even more superpowers. And if you will believe he is the Son of God and that he has all power, you can ask him to forgive you, and he will. He'll come live in your hearts and forgive your sin and all the bad things that you ever did. He will forgive you. You can now act and be good just like him, and you can live forever in heaven with Jesus and your family. Jesus is so good to make a forever home in heaven with your family. He is the door that you go through to get to heaven. Now you can say, "He is my way to heaven, and because of what he did for me, I will live forever for him." Jude said that you can become a superhero just like Jesus. He said, "Dear friends, just build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, That's what you do when you pray in tongues. And you can pray in tongues as often and as long as you want to. And the more that you pray in the tongues, the more your faith will grow and you will become a superhero, just like Jesus. Jude said, this will keep you in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. And just like Jesus, you will have a great love for people and you will want to help save them and make a difference in their life. God is able to keep you from making bad choices and make you perfect for him, and you will be happy forever when you choose to live for Jesus. The end. Now, this is the question. JoJo, sorry, honey, you can't answer. You already know the answer. This is the question for you. What can make you what can you do to make yourself a superhero just like Jesus? Eli? Pray in tongues. Eli got it. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you. Y'all can stay right here for a minute if you'd like. Do you want them to stay here?
Okay. Was that great or what? We can just leave it right there for a second. I'm going to share primarily with the kids for just a moment, but this would apply for everyone here. Jesus taught, just like Candy just shared, in simplicity. He really did. And he loved the little children. And every single one of us are his kids. Now, the end of the story was, what can we do to build ourselves up or make ourselves a superhero? And Eli got it, and Joe had gotten it, and they could all sit there and think for a few moments. And so the story was praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, some of these I know may be a little small for understanding salvation. Once they understand it enough, just to say, I want salvation, and that's happened to probably most of these, they are then ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, that applies to all of you out there. And if anybody thinks this is really cute, well, I'm glad you think it's cute, but the simplicity of it is, if you don't pray in tongues, you need to pray in tongues too. And if your faith is where you got filled and it's really hard for you, you can only every once in a while squeak out maybe one word or two, that's not what has been provided for you. You're supposed to be able to flow. Now, I'm talking to the adults now. I need to talk to you guys because it's vitally important what Nana or what Miss Candy just shared. And maybe you guys already do. I don't know. But if you don't pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit, and you would like to this morning, Papa, Pastor, and anybody else, we're going to attend to these first. I'm going to lay hands on them. I've heard some of my grandchildren, which is really great, and it's not a mimicking in a sense of dishonor, but they would begin to almost practice what they've heard us. That's an honor, but you can't practice speaking in tongues. You can't learn how to speak in tongues. You can't learn how to speak in tongues, and you can't practice how to speak in tongues. In other words, practice what somebody else does, and then you'll grow into it. You have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he gives the utterance, and it's very simple. Primarily, it usually comes, and anybody can receive it at any time. I'm speaking of adults or any of these kids. Anybody can receive it at any time just on their own volition by saying, I'm born again. I love you, Jesus. Will you fill me? But it usually comes by somebody, it can be a parent or a pastor, laying hands on them and releasing the power of God into them to fill them up. Now, I'll say this. to any of you, and then I'll give you the opportunity in just a moment to come up here, and I'm going to pray for you. And then we won't practice. We'll just believe that God fills you. I say this to the adults, and I'm going to try to break this down for them and then for all of you that may be watching, listening, and anybody that's not yet filled. The Holy Spirit baptizes us. Once we're born again, He comes. It's really cool. It's really cool what He does. Now, the best I can tell you is once you say, Jesus, come into my heart, the Holy Spirit, He kind of steps in invisibly through the walls of our body, and He creates a new person, a new spirit. Then He kind of backs off for just a little bit, and just that's you. You're created in Christ's image. The next time you ask for the Holy Spirit, then He steps all the way in and He just lives there. He just lives there now. He created something, first of all. Now He stays in what He created. He created the house, then He steps in the house and says, I'll live here forever. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. What we want to understand and what we want you to understand is when I lay hands on you and anybody or anybody out there, the Holy Spirit, He will, when you ask Him, we pray a prayer and say, come in, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you. He says, sure, I will. Steps in, and then He gives you an utterance. In other words, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to try to make it happen. The Holy Spirit just begins to take over your tongue, and He gives the utterance, and this is vitally important. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues, but He helps you speak in tongues. In other words, He won't make you speak in tongues. You have to be the one who does the utterance. Okay? You have to start saying something and you're like, I don't know what to say. Well, just start saying what's coming to your mind. It may sound kind of silly, even to you adults. It may sound like gibberish a little bit, but if the Holy Spirit's the one doing it, it'll be truth. Okay? So let's all stand together. And all of you that are there watching, if somebody is next to you and you want to be filled and you want them to pray for you, just turn over and say, hey guys, would you pray for me right now? Or somebody, maybe there's one person there in the room with you that's already speaking in tongues. They're a good person to have them just lay hands on your shoulder or on your head or someplace. Now, any of you guys that don't speak in tongues already, and you want pastor to pray for you, or you want to start speaking in tongues, come up here. Okay, Eli. Okay. Yes, sir. I feel your pleasure. I'm going to ask all of us to pray this prayer, and you pray this prayer with Papa and with Pastor, okay? Let's say this. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. I've asked you to come into my heart. Now, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come in also. Fill my body with your precious Spirit. I receive right now the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Okay, now everybody, you close your eyes. Take a big breath. I'm going to lay my hands down here, and I'm just going to walk down, and I'm going to release the power of God. And whenever I start praying for you, the Holy Spirit's going to fill you. Hallelujah. Are there any adults? I speak into the camera because I know that there's some people watching. It's just that simple. I release the power of God to you. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Take one breath. Let it out. Receive the life of God. And just begin to speak. One word is the beginning process. One word. One word. God will give you a second word, a third word. And sometimes people get filled and then they go home and they couldn't hardly speak in church, and then later they find out that it just starts flowing. Have a seat, please. Continue to play. Hallelujah. If we did nothing else today, we've already had church, haven't we? Jesus, hallelujah. Let me just real quickly review, because we are on a continuation of lessons this morning, and that lesson being the other side of the coin. And we're talking about really primarily false responsibility, just false responsibility when it comes to you as primarily ministers, because now we're talking about ministry and ministry specifically of power, not just your comfort. You know, the best, now here's I hate daddies dying in car wrecks and those kinds of things. At this point in time, the best that we can do is go to the scene. Usually it's a day or two afterwards, and minister comfort. I'm looking for the time when and presently, and I believe this, if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be standing here, is if they'll call us and we can get over there, we can raise them from the dead. That's where we need to be. Comfort's one thing. Raise them from the dead is a lot better. That's a lot better. And don't wait till they embalm them. I mean, I guess anything is possible. But what, you know, when embalm is they take out, of course you know, I don't even know if I'll get there today. I'm just listening. When they open the casket and they're, look, that's just an embalmed person. There's no organs left in there. Okay, they've taken out all the organs. So somebody said, well, we're going to lay hands on them and get them out of the coffin. That's an incredible miracle. Okay, you're not only raising the dead, but he's got to put a new heart in there, a new lungs, new livers, new kidneys, new blah, blah, blah. He got to do everything. So listen, you'd really rather pray for them while all that utensils are still there. I mean, that's far better, okay? And for God's sake, if you're hearing this or whatever, and you got a diagnosis of cancer or pre-cancer or whatever, don't come see us. Now, you can come see us anytime, okay, but I'm trying to word this right. You can see us anytime. You can see us the day before you die. But don't come see us like you knew about this 6 months ago and now it's stage four. Give us, now, because we burn both ends of the candle here. I'll tell you what, I said this a couple weeks ago, it just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make me mad. It just doesn't make sense when people come from other churches to be prayed for here because they've heard good reports, and then they'll go right back to their church. I mean, that doesn't, especially when they're still fighting the cancer or the whatever, because we burn both ends of the candle. One, we'll pray for you initially and release our faith, and then we will teach you and give you a whole bunch of confessions to start praying over you or speaking over yourself. Now, remember, we said the first one's on him, the second one is on you. In other words, he'll treat you real good and fair. Overly fair. If you're not born again, he'll heal you. But then if that thing starts to come back, and boy, it does a lot of times, it tries, you must enter in the door for the promises. If you're going to take the promises and claim them, then you've got to be, because all the promises are yea and amen in him. In him. It says it two times in that, in him. So you got to be in him, okay, if you're going to claim the promises. But for God's sake, if you're sick, We burn this end of the candle. We'll pray for you, and then the other end we'll say, we'll teach you how to stand for yourself. Okay? It just serves to reason that you stand a better chance in here surviving than you do someplace that doesn't teach it. I mean, even the church, even you get weird Christian Science church. You get weird churches, real weird, 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 weird. And yet they believe in positive thinking and positive confession. At least they get that part right. So you stand a far better chance in staying healed here. So please, hallelujah, don't get embalmed and then ask me to raise you from the dead, okay? I'm still working. I'm still working on me. God's still working on me. So, hallelujah. So, review just a little bit here from last week. What we have been talking about primarily is eliminating false responsibility. I'll try to go through this rather quickly. I said last week I termed myself with a cowboy kind of approach, cowboy being tough in the sense of the word. When I first heard the revival message, I was like, okay, revival, deliberateness, dying equals the more power. Okay, if I keep dying, if I keep fasting and fasting, nothing will stand in my way. That is right on one side of the coin, but there's another side of the coin that in certain aspects, certain things are beyond your power. And that only comes into play when people have the responsibility to take for themselves, and then you cannot override other people's wills. I don't care how powerful you are. Jesus will not override other people's wills, okay? And how many of you know he is our prototype? Absolutely. So that's important, and I think that's the summation of it, eliminating false responsibility in a certain sense, but we're going to continue to use biblical examples this week, next week, as we go forward. I do want to take the fat, I said, out of false responsibility, the things that we know that are beyond our control, so that we can narrow it down, get a real focused on, okay, if I'm praying and it's not happening, I don't want it to be because there's a dualistic thing here. Let's eliminate our ministry down to it's just me. I can work on me, okay? But if who I'm ministering to, and we'll get into that just a little bit later in what brief time we have this morning, we want to eliminate, at least on our part, we can't change them, but we can also know with an absolute surety when we're ministering, how far we really can go if it's just us. I mean, if it's just, you boil it right down, take it right down to vanilla, okay? We want to take away all hindrances. I'm tempted, I think I might, in just a minute. Yeah, I think we will. I'm going to jump way ahead here, because I had a lot of other, I'm probably going to go to James chapter 5 in just a moment. Let me tell you what I'm going to tell you, what I'm going to share with you. We want, as ministers of this power, we want to go and we want to minister uninhibited by our flesh. But we also want to know that when we're ministering, we've made spiritual judgment, okay, so that we know for surety that we're going to get the best bang out of our buck, that we're going to get the most out of our prayer. Listen, nowadays, when I minister to someone and the Holy Spirit relates to me something about their life, and I ask them, okay, I'm going to pray for you. See, because I said this, and we'll say this again and again, I had all this where I wanted to line on line teaching it, but now he's kind of prophetically exhorting it, so stay with me. When someone asks for prayer, and then it comes up, ask some questions, it does no good for me to blatantly or just give them an overall prayer and just believe that my prayer alone is going to change everything for them, when the Holy Spirit says, here's an issue. In other words, if somebody comes and says, Okay, will you pray for me? I need healing for my body. Yes, I will, because here's God has a predisposition, or He is predisposed. God is predisposed. I said it like this. He's bent on helping people and healing them. If He's got a fault, it's loving people. And God has no faults. But if you could say it in that way, just to kind of put it in our, if He's got a fault, He's going to do everything. He's not looking at legalism to keep you from being healed. Jesus paid too much of a price. But when something comes up and you can even go ahead and pray. And that's what I'll usually do, is just go ahead and pray. Because God wants to heal them right then. But then I'll say sometimes like, are you doing this? Yes. Are you fornicating? Yes. Well, I can tell you, now listen, He loves you. But what I just did is only going to help you so much. Because if you think that an overall blanket prayer is going to keep you healed, it is not. What you need to do now is walk in obedience. Come out of that. Stop it. Get married. Do this, do that. And it goes into a whole lot of other things. But that's what I'm talking about. When we go to minister, there's the other side of the coin. Listen, you say, well, you're going to brag on yourself, possibly. That way I'll be a little bit honest here. A little bit honest? Okay. Should be all totally honest. God bless me with a lot of natural strength, okay? I think it was my dad making me carry all those blocks as a teenager. I carried a million of them, I think. I brought them to him. I could bench over 400 pounds, and I did it several times. That wasn't my high time. I could go in there and bench 400 pounds. I did it a lot of times, and I was just naturally, without steroids. God only knows what I could have done with steroids. But there was three guys in there and said, they used to call me, you're country strong. They called me country strong. Hey, country strong. Because I could go in there and I wasn't taking any steroids and I could bench over 400 pounds. And they said, wow. I know this, that if your car is stalled in the middle of the highway, even if it's a big truck, if you're on flat ground and on pavement, I'm almost sure that there's hardly any vehicle that I couldn't push as long as you had it neutral. But James tells us something that lets us know that if you got the brake on, even if I'm standing behind a little Fiat or a little bug and I'm pushing, I'm like, my God, I've lost all my manhood. It's going nowhere. Oh, sorry, Pastor, I had the brake on. God. What this message is saying, make sure the brake is off on their end if you're going to be able to minister full manifestation of healing to them. Because it does make a difference. It even would with Jesus. Well, I can just override. No, you cannot. Not if they're accountable. You cannot override. You won't push the Fiat through the intersection with the emergency brake on, or if they've got their foot on the brake, it has to work. I mean, it has to be released. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? Hallelujah. Still reviewing. I said, we might jump. I'm not sure that we'll jump. I'm listening. One of the things that we said last week is that the curse, there is no more curse on us. There's no more curse. You don't have to break a curse over a Christian. That curse has been broken. Listen, you're healed. You're already healed. To just accentuate some of the stuff that Rex said, some of the stuff that the Holy Spirit's been saying this morning, I know we've all said it, so don't feel condemned. I know I've said it. I know we've all said it at times. It's the time of year. It's the season. Don't let those subtle things come in. This is genetically, you know, the way I am. Don't start that. I've got a predisposition to, okay, listen, how do I say this? I've got a predisposition towards I can't eat certain things. Okay, listen. How do I explain this? You may not be able to. Wisdom would say, if it causes a flare-up or something, I would say absolutely. Wisdom, the mind of Christ is, don't eat it. Don't eat it. But you can't eat it because something in your body is not right. Okay? Again, it's not a brag. It's just a real thing. There's nothing, as far as I know, there's nothing that I have a reaction to. I can eat anything, and it doesn't bother me. But I can tell you, now this isn't sin, it's just an observation. I can tell you, just for instance, fast food. It's nothing wrong with eating Burger King. There's no sin in that. But honestly, I can tell you honestly, there's a difference between eating one of their burgers and one of mine. Not just delicious-wise. But when I eat one of their doubles or triples, within an hour, I can feel my blood pressure. I honestly can feel my head starting to tighten up a little bit. Now, is it a sin? Absolutely not. But if I did that two or three times a week, I'm not sinning per se, but I'm hurting myself. And the same thing is, like, there might be certain foods that I can't eat until I get healed. So let's see, how would I say it? Don't eat it. Get healed so you can eat it, but don't eat it. If it's a bad food, don't eat it anyway, but be able to eat it. In other words, you should be able to eat anything on the earth except arsenic or something stupid, you know, or a plant that will kill you. Don't eat that. But you should be able to eat any food without it making you deathly sick. Be where you can eat anything, but then don't eat it. Hallelujah. That makes sense, right? So, hallelujah. But all curses are broken off of us. We don't have to. And the other thing, too, we talked about open door. Boy, we're slow about using that open door thing, that open door phrase. But then last week, we showed where it can make a difference. Now, one thing we can cover before we leave this morning is in John chapter 8. Why don't you turn there? We went over this a couple of weeks ago. Well, it's good that I didn't even get into this morning. I don't have to work real hard for next week. I'll just have it there. Hey, if y'all didn't see the newest member of the church, Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. Davey, can you come up here, please? My. Say, Pastor, you haven't done this with other babies. Yes, I have. I've done that with other babies. Yes, I have. This is Ava Dillon. Woo! Is that something else or rock? What? Hallelujah. See, she already knows her papa's voice. Did she get filled with the Spirit this morning too? Look at her praising God. Hallelujah. She was just, now listen, she was like 3 weeks to her actual due date coming in. So she was termed, and the hospital wrote her down as a preemie. So they actually had to deal with her like, you can't take a preemie home. She weighed 8 pounds, 13 ounces, just a little bit shy of 9 pounds. This was the biggest preemie they ever had. But isn't that something right there? Woo, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. And Davey, you did a good job. Okay. So John chapter 8, and we won't go into all of this because we do want to let you out early enough to come down and bring a wonderful offering this morning. Hallelujah. Or if you're giving online, hallelujah. However you do that. This woman, we won't go into it. She was caught in adultery. The Pharisees said the very act. And again, I don't know where the dude was at, you know, but they brought her. And Jesus, I'm looking here. We'll just look at verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I mean, you can just see religion. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it began being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, being at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Did you see that? Isn't this wonderful how beautiful our Lord is? Way above the Pharisees, way beyond them. Woman, where is thy accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Isn't that the most beautiful words anybody ever heard? That's salvation right there. That's the weight of all weights coming off. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, So when it says he was alone, he's talking about those accusers left. He's still speaking. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, Now I'm going to read this verse, but before I do, I'll say this. I got to give credit to where credit is due. And of course, that verse is always there, and I know it, but I just didn't go far enough in the last couple of weeks in reading this to you. You know, I brought out two examples. This one, in the preface to this whole thing or this whole teaching on the other side of the coin, is there's a lot of different examples that we're using. And one of them was this, beginning a couple weeks ago, that this is acclimated. It's a praise, I should say. It's praised in the sense of word. That's the weight of all burdens going. Neither do I condemn thee, go and, you know, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And the big part of it is often preached, and we should, the forgiveness of sins. You know, or that this there was no holdover. You know, this woman was no longer condemned. But Jesus, where we really kind of highlighted and underscored, was he also said, and we coupled that with everything that we're using going forward, he also said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Well, another really important scripture that we brought out last week was I titled it for my own personal reference, the sin healing equation. That equation, like they brought the paralytic to Christ, and they could not find the room to come in, and so as a result of it, they took off the roof, and the four men led him down, and Jesus said, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." Okay. Thy sins are forgiven thee. And so he gets up and he leaves. And then the other example that we used was, and this is the one that I was really after, was the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the man said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in. And Jesus heals him right there, later finds him in the aftermath of this man leaving, finds him in the temple and says to him, thou art made whole, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. And it was amazing to me, the lack of, you know, you've got just a couple of examples there where Jesus said, go and sin no more to the woman. And we said he did, he healed the masses in with no pretense of, you know, like checking on anybody. Is your diet right? Is your sin life right? Or if your righteous life right? Are you sinning or not sinning? He just healed those big, we see those big Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John crusades where he just healed, healed, healed. And there seems to be such a lack of, it's like, okay, Pastor, you're bringing up that sin, the sin question, like it could have an effect in some regards at times in the other side of the coin, but there's really a lack of example, and there's just this tsunami. And I said, and it's true, God's predisposition is to heal people. But look what Jesus said to the woman here and to all of them as he continued to speak. He not only said, go and sin no more, but in verse 12, he spake, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. Gary called me this past week and he said, Bronk, I really enjoyed your message. He goes, here's something that'll help you. He goes, I've often wondered that too. There was only a couple examples there. But look what Jesus said as he continued to speak in verse 12. He said again, we'll read it, and Homer had already had it because he's saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In other words, this is universal. That's universal. In other words, anyone that comes into Christ, once sins are forgiven, then you have the light of life. You can walk free from sin. You can walk free from deliberate disobedience. And in that sense of the word, to all, there is a responsibility to walk in the light of life. And if you don't, and you get out into deliberate sin, it can affect, and it can affect the person doing the praying as well. In other words, their job, pushing you out of the intersection. I think everybody got that one pretty good. Listen, I hate, and I know that you'll know this, I'm closing with this. I hate when I hear that people in our congregation are sick. Actually, it's an insult. They're not insulting me, but it insults me. It's an insult. It really is. It's like the anger that Rex was portraying. It's an offense to me. It offends me, in a good way. Somebody, you're not supposed to be offended. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, what you've just said to me, you're trying to get me to go against the mind of God. You're saying save yourself when my whole mission is to give myself. He said, you're an offense to me, Peter. Your words have offended the mission that I've been called to. Sickness is an offense to me. It offends me bad. I hate it. I despise sickness, and I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want us to give any excuse to it, and I certainly don't believe any of the people that are out are giving any excuse to it. But I'm just saying, don't give one thimble of excuse. Check yourself. You know how Rex was talking about checking yourself? Check yourself when you're going through something and saying, how's my words been? How's my thought process been? Am I giving any excuse to this? Boil it down to just you in a blatant fight against the thing. But don't accept it. Don't accept it. Kenneth Hagin said, Boy, people used to get mad at him. He said, I have never, and way up until his, I don't know, he might have been 60, 70. I don't know if it ever caught up with him. He said, I've never had one headache in my life. Not one headache. Not one headache. He said, I've had several opportunities. But when it just started, he, oh no. He said, I remember Norval Hayes describing, I believe it was Norval Hayes, he said that he was working with that guy and he looked over there and the guy had a chronic headache and he said that guy started rubbing his head. And he was that whining was coming on him. And he said, he was trying to teach. Now listen, if you was Norval, around Norval Hayes, Jesus, he was about like that guy that we watched. He was love. I'll give him some credit. Oh Lord, he was a teacher. And Jesus, now he lived in health. He just went home to be with the Lord. Isn't that great? He just went home to be with the Lord. But I'm telling you, if he taught you something, and once he taught you, he expected you to follow it. And then he taught you confession and how to stand on it and how to walk out your healing. And then if you just turn right around and just blatantly started saying, so he taught that guy how to stop those headaches. And the best I can remember, and then he was like, he come up on him again, or looked, and he was like, he said, what are you doing? He goes, Did I not tell you to begin to speak to that thing? See, if you treat sickness like a snake, now I never have been able to figure out, I'm sorry if I offend anybody, I never have been able to figure out anybody that liked to pick up snakes. If you have snakes in your home, in any aquariums or stuff, and you invite me over to supper, I'm sorry if I offend you, I will not come. I will not come.
What about the yard?
Well, if they're in the yard and you can't help that, but if you put them in the yard, I'm not coming to your yard. I don't do snakes. I love that classic. Gary uses it a lot of times. Monk, you remember Monk? He's that guy that's it's that syndrome or whatever. But anyway, what is it? OCD, yes. Obsessive compulsive disorder. Okay. And he's like, he walks in there with Stottermeyer and they're investigating a case and he looks over and there's an aquarium or whatever that used to hold a snake in there. Well, the snake is gone. So he jumps up on the table, and he's up on the table, and Stottermeyer comes back in. He goes, Monk, what are you doing? He goes, he said, aren't you afraid of heights? And he was. He couldn't stand up on a bucket. He goes, aren't you afraid of heights? And he goes, yes, but the snake's not there, and snakes trump heights. I'm telling you, snakes trump everything, okay? You got to treat sickness like a snake. If you told me, go in there and sleep in the bedroom, little Joe or Frankie or that's my pet snake. I lost him last night. He's somewhere in the house here. I'm not sleeping in your house. I'm not. Okay. You got to treat sickness. If you say like, well, I think I can kind of. And that guy, he was like, he said, what are you doing? Well, it's starting to hurt again. Are you talking to it? No, because it's hurting. See, once a teacher teaches you something, they expect you to do it if you're going to ask them to help you. Hallelujah. You have to hate sickness, and you have to stand against it. And you teach others to do that, and they do it, it works. Praise the Lord. Father, we just worship you. I'm just going to ask you right now to touch the hearts of those givers this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus, whether there are those that are out there, they're watching, that they will give. And I pray that as we prepare our hearts this morning, that Lord, that we'll give according to your mind, your good pleasure. I receive these things from you, Father, and I give you all the praise and glory. Let's all stand together.